Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Bears, Matt Nagy. How's it going, Coach?
Going great.
Well, Matt, we got you a snack if you're hungry. See, I don't know if you'd like any of these.
You're giving me some salted peanuts, huh?
Yes. Last Bears training camp, the last time we had Bears head coach Matt Nagy on, we had some fun with him. Unfortunately, there is no gift this time as the Bears head coach joins us on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Coach, welcome back to The Score. I'm sorry we don't have any snacks for you.
You guys are crazy, man. That's unbelievable. I thought that thing went away.
We've got long memories, Matt. Come on. You think we're going to let a comedic opportunity like that go away? Come on now.
We did a deal on Zoom today for the last 10 minutes of our talk with the rookies. We asked them, did you ever have a moment where you said something where you wish you could have taken it back or put a foot in your mouth? And we got some interesting responses from that. But I certainly know, I said it's my accent, but they were joking around about what y'all just played.
Yes, it was good. You told them the story. So, actually, I was thinking, you're a young coach. We've had players on the show a lot of times. They always talk about how much you relate to them. I would imagine that you are thriving during these times of Zoom calls and virtual meetings in terms of creativity. Like, what are you doing in terms of guest speakers or anything on these Zoom calls? I know you got something up your sleeve. What are you doing to keep it fun for the guys?
You know what? So the guest speakers thing is pretty cool because they're coming in and they're talking about, their experiences. And I think what's powerful about that is it's not coming from, from a coach. It's coming from somebody that has done it. They've been there, done it for a lot of years in different sports, different areas. And so the players, you can really see them get close to the Zoom video camera because they're really paying attention, which is neat. For me, though, I think it's really important that you stay connected, you stay energized. It's hard. I feel like one of my strengths when I'm installing or when we're in a team meeting is they can feel me because I feel like I can connect with them. That's hard to do over Zoom. There's zero feedback. All those mute buttons are hit. When you say a joke and no one laughs, I'm kind of used to that anyway. But I mean, it's you just don't know. So we found a cool feature the other day where, man, when you hold down that space bar and you're muted, it's a quicker way to just talk and then let it go. And then you go back to being muted again. So like it's the little things right now that are firing us up. And so we're just staying creative. We're having fun. Guys are joking, a lot of interaction, making fun of guys when we're on the call about what their background is or the haircuts they haven't had, and just like everybody else, but you have to do that.
Hey, Matt, can you share anyone you've had on?
You know what? We've had a lot of different foreign players. Half the time I don't even like saying that we share people because I get the name, people want the names, but for me, it's just, you'd be surprised at how many Zoom requests people get at that level and to talk. And so I'm just trying to, I told him I would, keep names from just out of respect. So they don't have to do a million of them.
What's your background on the Zoom calls, Matt? I hope it's that glorious draft room with all your 2018 play sheets on the wall that we all got to see on the draft. Is that what the players get to see as well when you're doing it?
Not at all. No, you know what? I'm up in my home office. It's a lot smaller. We figured we go down there into my basement, and that wallpaper is a wallpaper of the the play call sheets from the 2018 season, and I know people are joking about, different thoughts of what it looks like that person is down there being me. But we were just having fun with that, and it was a perfect time during the draft to do that, and there was more space. But right now, all they're getting is the backdrop of my office that I'm in my home office.
We're talking to Bears head coach Matt Nagy. I know you just met with the beat reporters, but what are the football challenges that come from this in terms of you're trying to pick a starting quarterback? Like, how the hell do you even begin to do that if you can't get on a football field?
Yeah, you can't right now. That's not happening. What's happening right now is giving these guys at every position, but again, talking about the quarterback, giving them everything that we want to do this year in regards to our offense, things that stayed the same, things that changed. Lots of conversations, lots of collaboration between the players and us, and then we put it all together. So this is really their time to digest it and take everything they can, because you can't evaluate a quarterback or have a competition at any position online. It has to be on the field. And so we're going to have to make sure that us as an offensive staff, we really make good in what we do rep wise for these quarterbacks, so that when they go out there and they get those reps, it's as similar as possible so that we can evaluate it and then decide when the time comes what the best thing is for Chicago Bears.
Hey, Matt, we are very lucky we get to talk to people like you on this radio station, and we get to talk to the mayor every once in a while. Mayor Lori Lightfoot, on with our morning show, Mully and Haw, a little while ago. She's a fan of epic proportions, Coach. I don't know if you're aware of this. Unsolicited, this was her. She's been on The Score, and she's done this, which was on NBC Sports Chicago. Here's the mayor.
A little friendly competition, I think, is a good thing. Everybody grows when there's competition. And, you know, Mitch Trubisky was not what I think anybody expected he would be last season. He's got to get much more consistent. But when you got a defense like that, all you got to do on the offense is just manage the game. You got to score. You can't get down to the red zone and settle for field goals. But what I saw a lot last season is a great defense that was gassed by the third quarter. I'd like to see Nagy's play calling be a little less predictable and pedestrian. You know, running up the gut every time. That's not working so well.
How would you respond to the mayor of Chicago, who has thoughts on your play calling and running up the gut, Coach Nagy?
Yeah, no, you know what? Hey, everybody has their own opinions, and that's that. For me, it's very, very important that what we do as a organization, whether that's coaches, whether that's players, that we do everything we can to focus on 2020. And the beautiful part of what's so great about the Chicago city, the Chicago fans, is that people care, right? And I think that's what you find, is that the care is there. They want the best to be competitive. You know, they want the best team possible to be competitive in these situations. And so that's what we worry about, and that's what we control. And so everybody has different opinions, and we all have our own. And I think right now for us, we're just focusing on what we can control, and that's 2020, and that's doing everything we can in these Zoom meetings right now to make sure that we're putting points up on the board and stopping people on defense.
Matt, when you talk about 2020, you've made some changes this offseason where you've brought in people who you are familiar with, right? You knew Nick Foles from Kansas City, John DeFilippo from Philly, Juan Castillo from Philly, Demetrius Harris from Kansas City. Ted Ginn said that you talked to him every single day. It was like college recruitment for free agency. Are you taking more of an active role in terms of personnel acquisition on the offensive side of the ball now?
No, nothing's changed. Ryan's done a really good job at the communication part with myself, and really kind of now that we're going into our third year of trying to figure out, okay, where are we at? What do we need? How can we get better? And then once, you know, you get into that process, you start having, obviously, you're dealing with all different types of players, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, whether, you know, moving forward. And it just so happened that you named guys that we have relationships with. Is there a coincidence? Probably a little bit, because we understand that there's a trust there, right? I think the word trust doesn't get used enough. And so when you have that trust for all these players, you understand not only what you're getting as that player, but as the person too, that's helping build this culture that we've built in the last 2 years. Now, we've had a from 2018 to go 12-4 to win the NFC North, right, get to the playoffs in that year, and then to go to last year where there was more of a struggle and we hit that little slide of losing four games in a row, but we never wavered. Our guys stuck together. Is that good enough? No. But we have a great culture, and a lot of other cultures, place would have blown up. And our guys, to their credit, our players and coaches, fought through that thing. And what I think is going to happen is I think that makes us stronger for the future. And so when you bring in these guys that you have a relationship with, you know that all they're going to do is add to that. And how does that not get you excited, knowing they're bringing what they know into what you've already built here with these guys, what these players have done? And so we're just we're in a good place right now, and we're really looking forward to getting started.
Hey, I know Bears fans, and I know you don't have much time. They're very excited because, yes, you are just getting started. We talked to a lot of Bears fans, young, old, and I loved when you said, you know, they didn't bring me in here to run the I formation because I saw what you did in Kansas City and what they just did last year, and I'm a young guy, and I want you guys throwing it all over the field. But we got, like, old-school, bear-down, bear-weather Bears fans that listen to this radio station. What can you tell them about, like, a pledge to the running game or where you feel like the running game exists in Bear football in 2020? Because a lot of people have questions about it, Matt.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. And I think when you look at, you know, the last couple years with where we've been, we reflect and we understand that we need to be better in the run game. And so when your run game isn't, you know, quite as good as you want it to be, it's at times hard to call runs. At the same time, we need to do whatever's best for our team. We need to adjust and adapt as coaches to who our players are, right? And you can't just do that in year one if you don't know exactly who your players are because you haven't had them. Now that we've had a couple years as a staff to figure out what our players' strengths are and what their weaknesses are, now we are able to work together with them and put together a product on the field that we think is a lot better. And if that means running the ball a lot more, we are going to do it. And you, so you totally understand when you say the old school way or the I formation, whatever we need to do, we'll do that. Now, at the same point in time, you want to make sure that you also have those pieces to be able to do that. And there's a lot more. I could get a lot deeper with this than where we're at right now level-wise, but there's reasons behind that. And we feel like we're in a good place right now to be able to move forward and be very multiple in what we do. And trust me, all of our players, all of our coaches are doing everything we can to know that we need to be a lot better than where we were last year offensively. And I think that's the beauty, is there's no finger pointing. It's all about solutions. It's about working together. It's moving on. 2018 and 2019, for us right now, they're gone. We're on to 2020. We don't waste time talking about that. We're on 2020 right now.
Hey, Coach, me and Danny are both bullish on this season, looking forward to it, thinking 10, 11 wins, something like that. But USA Today said 3-13 the other day. Can you believe that? And did you share that with the players?
No, I did not. I don't even, you know, that's news to me in regards to that. But again, everybody has their own opinions and where they're at. And I totally respect that. And we know what matters. And so we love that you guys, have those numbers for us as a team. But really, in the end, when we're having this conversation next year, that's really what matters, is what you do. And it's the same thing with the schedule. You know, the schedules come out and people talk about this tough team and that tough team and this week. None of that matters. It matters you got to go out. You just got to play football. Every team is different every week. And just go out there and let's just put the best team we can possibly be out there on the field every week.
Matt, we really appreciate you making time for us on a busy day. Thank you very much, and stay safe. We'll talk soon.
No problem, guys. Take care. We'll see you.
That's Bears football coach Matt Nagy with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. You know, that guy is he's creative, and the players love him. And what he said about them not breaking apart, like, I've talked to guys on the air and off the air, and it's true. Like, that's why I don't think there's any concern about him. I think he's going to be the Bears coach for a long time. I would take the over on 5 years. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's getting another contract and then maybe another. The players just connect to him in a way that we haven't seen around here in a long time. And Spiegs, when you have a down year as 8 wins, that's a pretty good place for Bears fans to be. It's not saying that last year was fun. It was miserable. But that's the raising of expectations where 8 wins is a bad year. I'm very confident and know on some level for a fact that he has been connecting with these guys in a big way through these Zoom calls and stuff during the offseason, which I'm sure for some other coaches, older coaches, et cetera, it's maybe not as easy to do.
Yeah, well, there's a couple things there. One is that it really doesn't matter what we think of him or in what the listeners think of him. I said this all throughout the Lovey regime. Lovie Smith's players adored him and knew that he had their back, and he showed them stuff that he didn't show to us. So like that relationship and that trust was what matters. And right now, I know a lot of listeners have lost faith in Matt Nagy and what he does with the offense. That team is not. And to your point about his longevity, look, if anybody's going to get blamed for Mitch Trubisky, if it ends up being the disaster that it appears it may end up being, it's Ryan Pace. So in that sense, Matt Nagy's going to outlast Ryan Pace in terms of trustworthiness, and his relationships with the players are going to go a long way. So I agree with you in that sense.
Yeah, I think that part of it matters. He is a 10 out of 10 in terms of the player relationship stuff. He has a quarterback situation now where he needs to have a quarterback who can execute his offensive system. I don't know if he has that yet. Like, hopefully he does with Nick Foles. He told the beat writers that like he's not at all concerned with where he's going to be with the playbook when it comes time to actually get on the field. But there's no way to do a competition right now. So like, I assume, Spiegs, that Nick Foles will allow Matt Nagy to do more things week to week, because what I think happened last year was he had to shrink the playbook and shrink the game plan because, okay, this week we're playing the Lions and I want to install these 70 plays. And then next week we're playing the Vikings. And in an ideal world, I would be installing maybe the same 15 or 20 plays, but then a new 50 plays for the next week. But with Mitch Trubisky, it was limited. And so then they became more and more predictable and easier to game plan, and you pick up on tendencies because he didn't have the full mastery of that playbook. And if Nick Foles does, I think that's going to make him look like a lot better coach.
Yeah, I think he will have his best chance this year with Foles to implement his vision, and we'll see if it indeed can happen. I have my concerns overall on the way that he coaches, and maybe Juan Castillo will help. The way that offensive line approaches every play, they retreat as if they might pass, because the truth is they might pass, as opposed to attacking as if they know they're going to run on dedicated run plays. And I just don't think in this league these days you can really run the ball when your offensive line is catching as opposed to delivering that first blow with great consistency. So that's on him to adjust. And if he can adjust that a little bit, as well as having Foles implement his vision, then I end up bullish on what the offense can be. But this will be the closest he gets, since he's been here.
Yeah, and people saying, like, Parkins, you're being soft on him. I think he's a good coach. I think Matt Nagy is a good coach, and I know that the system works, and I know that the players swear by him on the record and off the record. Which, frankly, that's a huge step in the right direction, because you couldn't say that about Trestman and you couldn't say that about John Fox.
No.
So get this guy a quarterback, get him his version of Carson Wentz, get him his version certainly of Pat Mahomes, but even his version of Alex Smith and hopefully Nick Foles, because Nick Foles won at a high level in this system, albeit at a small sample size. Like, I believe that this system elevates quarterbacks if the quarterback can master the system. The example that I always use, and people get tired of it, but when Alex Smith took over in Kansas City, it was an offense that 0 touchdown passes to a wide receiver. It was pathetic. Like, it was just the whole 16 games, no wide receiver on the Chiefs caught a touchdown. By Alex Smith's last year in the system, 4 years later, number one in the NFL in deep ball passer rating.
Even with him,
and they're scoring 30. You know, they blew out the Patriots in a regular season game and hang in whatever it was 31 on the board in a loss in Foxborough. Like, he, even with a guy who is known for not a big arm strength, not a downfield guy, check down Alex Smith and all of that. Like, if you master this offense, it works. And I believe that Matt Nagy can get there if he gets competent quarterback play.
Yeah, and if they are able to complete some things down the field and stretch things out a little bit, then that problem with the run game that I brought up is going to be a lot easier to deal with, because the defense will be legitimately afraid of the ball down the field, which they didn't really spend any time doing last year. The defense not afraid of getting beat really down the field. So they were able to attack. It'll be interesting to see if he has marginal success with Nick Foles, as opposed to excellent success with Nick Foles, just marginal success. Does he then get a chance, either he and Pace together or he and some new GM with Nagy having a loud voice, to draft the quarterback that fits, like the Chiefs were able to draft Patrick Mahomes after Alex Smith had done his job, if we're going to carry it through? It might be that we don't get to see the full bloom of it until he's got his hand-picked guy, because it sure appears that Mitch isn't it, and Foles might just be, you know, an improvement and a better case scenario, but not best case.
Yeah, of course. So he's not best case. Like, he's the placeholder. Like, he's the guy that hopefully, and a lot of us were saying this all of last year, was, God, if this team could just get league average quarterback play with this defense, you know, like, that's what the goal is. The goal is to have the best defense in the NFL, and I think they've got a shot at it. I'd be a little surprised if they were the best again. They need some health luck, some turnover luck, but they should be a top 5-6 NFL defense next year. Their front seven's ridiculous. Robert Quinn, Khalil Mack, Eddie Goldman, Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan. Like, that's A+. Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller, and then you're really young at the number 2 and number 3 cornerback spot. And hopefully Jalon Johnson, the second round pick out of Utah, can be a day one starter and be good and is healthy. Like, that's a huge thing on defense. But if their defense is top 5, that keeps them in almost every game. And you just have to be the 17th best offense in the NFL. And that's a double digit win team. Like, if you're top 5 on defense and top 20 on offense, that's 9 or 10 wins easily. So I think that's the formula for the Bears right now.
I think Matt Nagy and legitimate Bears conversation with some passion did a very nice job righting the ship after the doctor had destroyed our morale. I think that really worked out very well. I'm happy to be a part of it.
Good. Yeah, well, that's we just careen, Matt. Positives, negatives, lefts, rights. So we campaign for Jason Benetti and put him on the spot for Monday Night Football, and then critique his singing ability, and then the doctor says there should be no sports, and then Matt Nagy says we're only talking about 2020, and, you know, we figure it out as we go.
I thought he might be a little more playful with the mayor audio that we used. I thought he might, like, have a little fun with that. I think he took that rather directly and rather personally, because he's probably heard a lot of us do it. I don't think it sucks. It is what it is, man. It's like, people feel this way. People say things. I love that. If anybody missed it at the beginning, you played the cut, the infamous salted peanuts cut for him.
Yes.
And he mentioned that just today on a Zoom call with the players, they were giving him the business about that. So people listen.
Yeah, well, I think that they were most likely giving him the business on the actual singing of the seventh inning stretch. And
could
not
be.
Like, hey, remember when those guys on the radio brought it up to you and then made you say salted peanuts a couple of times? That was
there
fun.
There is that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, I thank you for giving us the credit, but I assume it was the seventh inning stretch. But, he is – listen, I still have to wait for my white whale, which is the interview with Ryan Pace, where I get to ask him about not taking Deshaun Watson out for dinner. But until then, Matt Nagy will just have to do. It's McNeil and Parkins with Spiegs in on the score.
I can't say there was some – really good stuff that we got to talk about during that time. That was big for our relationship, I know, and it's, you know, it's progressed really since the handshake on stage at the honors to where now him and I are very close, and we do talk very frequently. So that's been a lot of fun to have him back in my life.
That was Aaron Rodgers with his relationship with Brett Favre, having him back in his life. Thanks again to Bears football coach Matt Nagy. Football was probably not necessary there, right? I probably just said Bears coach. They know it's football.
Unless it's the Cal Berkeley.
That's
that
true.
Team, but we don't talk to those guys much, those coaches.
No, not too often. You know, every time like you get one of these people on, you're like, man, I was just going to be perfect. Every answer is going to be newsworthy. And then you remember, but they're football coaches, so answers are newsworthy. Right? Like that's kind of how I – that's kind of what I thought about that conversation with Matt Nagy. Like, I enjoy talking to him. You could hear his positivity. You could hear his pledge once again, trust us, we know what's going on, the run game and all of that stuff. But then at the end, it's like, oh, man, and our 10 minutes are up.
Well, you know, the thing is, I think most of the listeners, and certainly us in the media, we're pretty attuned to when guys are good, they're going to volley that way. So we all listen for that extra level. All right, was there a pause in there? Was there a certain word choice? What was the tone of that? And when you're in it, like we just were, we might not hear that stuff best because we're hoping for the big, broad strokes of excellence. For instance, when Nagy spoke at the Combine, I think you and Mac were on. I'm not sure. I remember listening. And at the time, I was like, boy, there's just not a lot there. That's what he does. There's nothing there. And maybe I remember you coming on, Danny, and saying, yep, these guys just don't say much. Don't say much. But then if, like a couple days later, or a week later, I heard Lawrence replaying some stuff. And when you give it another focus, sometimes there's more there. So don't worry about it right now. You're not the best judge because you're a little close to it, in my opinion.
I appreciate that. Don't worry. I won't replay it in my head 100 times this weekend. That's not going to be anything that I would consider doing. I'm mentally stable. So to Aaron Rodgers, he spoke basically for the first time today since Jordan Love was selected. And this is just fascinating on a number of levels. So here's Aaron Rodgers.
Just your general reaction. I mean, obviously, first time publicly stating, you know, when the Packers drafted Jordan Love, what your thoughts were and handling the competition.
Well, I think I was watching the draft. I was watching the feed with A.J. Hawk and Pat McAfee and his boys. And I think, you know, the general reaction at first was surprise. I think like many people, you know, obviously I'm not going to say that I was, you know, thrilled by the pick necessarily, but I understand the organization is thinking not only about the present, but about the future. And I respect that. You know, I understand their focus and their mindset. And obviously they thought that he was such a great talent that they needed to go up and get him. So, you know, I was, like I said, generally surprised, but you know, it's what those guys are paid to do, to put together a roster for now and for the future as well. Well, I think what it does is just reinforce kind of the adage that you can only control what you can control. And it's always been, you know, a mantra for myself. And I think any great athlete, you know, there's things that are just out of our control. That obviously is something that's very important to me, but I think is definitely telling at this point that is truly something that's out of my control. What I can't control is how I play, and making that decision at some point a very hard one. You know, if I were to retire on the organization's timetable, then it's an easy decision. But if there comes a time where I still feel like I can play at a high level and my body feels great, you know, then there's, you know, other guys have gone on and played elsewhere.
Damn.
Yeah, that is accurate.
It's adult, isn't it?
Yeah, very adult. And he's a real smart dude. But coming to grips with that when you are as talented as he is, it just can't be easy, right? Like, he's signed, contracted, 4 years, wants to play until he's 40, wants to retire a Packer. Yep. NFC Championship game, 13 wins. He's watching the draft. Packers have traded up. Oh, my God, are we taking a linebacker? How about a defensive lineman? Maybe a receiver? Can we get T. Higgins? Can we get the kid from Clemson? That would be this is awkward. Like that. No matter how good you are and how accomplished you are, you know, I think of like the poor man's version of that is when Mike Glennon was at the Bears draft watch party and he saw them trade up for Mitch Trubisky, right? After just signing the $18 million guaranteed, $19 million guaranteed deal.
Like, yeah.
We talked about how, say what you will about Mike Glennon. That must have sucked. Now do it for Aaron Rodgers. It's just, it's a cold business, man.
Yes, it is. And time comes for everybody. And sometimes the organization believes that time is going to come for you before you believe it's going to come for you. He's circled back to this later in the conference call, Danny, and put the same points on it very specifically, that he wants to play into his 40s and that he has a sincere desire to start and finish with the same organization, just as a lot of other players have. But there are some new factors that are out of my control. So it's happened to other people. We just saw it happen to Tom Brady, that he got all the way here and still had to go somewhere else if he wanted to play. And but to have to face that right here in the middle of what you still believe is your prime and you're as good as he is, that's tough, man. I wouldn't have wanted to talk to the media right away. And he got some time to think about it. And then he gave you a pretty honest adult response that that I appreciate right there.
Yeah, and so he'll, in all likelihood, finish his career elsewhere.
Like everybody does. Like almost right? Everybody does. Yep.
You know, it's obviously possible that instead of the comp for Jordan Love being Aaron Rodgers, what Rodgers was to Favre, it turns into Jimmy Garoppolo for Brady. And that Brady was just, like, if Rodgers 3 years from now throws for 4,800 yards, 42 touchdowns, and they win 12 games, well, then you're probably not going to Jordan Love, and maybe he's shown enough in the preseason or Rodgers being hurt for a short period of time or something like
yeah.
that, and you turn around and you trade him. But the overwhelming likelihood is now that Aaron Rodgers is going to finish his career, like, as a Colt or a Titan. It's just bizarre. It's
yeah,
a bizarre thing to think about.
And he's got to think about it earlier than he wanted to. And
yeah.
now he's got to compartmentalize it and not let it affect how he goes about his business. And also, by the way, be kind and theoretically welcoming and educational to a kid who is thrust into his midst. And, you know, to his credit, he said today that he didn't make that pick. It's not his fault. I look forward to working with him, you know, but it's awkward, man. It's awkward. And I think a lot of us over the years have expected Aaron to be a Jag when this circumstance arrives. And he was not a Jag publicly today. And I'll be interested to see if he is a Jag in person when it starts to happen, because people do get older and grow. You do figure some things out. And
he's looking forward to working with him.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Words, you know,
yep.
but all these, it's a precursor to everything that he's going to have to deal with. And he knows it. And it's intense, man. It's intense.
All right. What are you looking for in the finale of The Last Dance? We'll end the show there. It's Spiegs in for Mac on The Score.
A lot of people back down the bike. I didn't. I made it a point. I said, just tire him out. You just got to tire him out. And I kept hitting him and banging him and hitting him and banging him. It took a toll. And then I feel myself resting him a little bit. And then the series changed. And I wish I could have did it earlier. I don't know if the outcome would have been different, but it was a difference and beating him down a little bit.
The glove. I had no problem with the glove. I had no problem with Gary Payton. I had a lot of other things on my mind.
That is Michael Jordan from The Last Dance on Gary Payton. Couldn't give a 9-time first team All-NBA defenses props when his scoring went down in games 4, 5, and 6 compared to games 1, 2, and 3. Wouldn't do it, Spiegs, all of these years later.
He's Mike. I started laughing as Peyton was talking, because I knew we were about to hear Jordan's laugh, and that laugh is just gold. Of course it's fitting that his, like, genuine derisive belly laugh is the coolest genuine derisive belly laugh of all time, because anything that Mike does is the coolest thing that anybody's ever done. He's just the most. He's the most of anything. He's like, he's the best athlete. He's the most graceful human. He might be the most handsome man I've ever seen. And I mean that genuinely. It's like the dude is just, He is a, his crying was the most emotional crying you ever saw. It's why he is the great meme machine that he is. The dude is just the most of everything. It's amazing.
Yeah, he is. That's why he might even be called the GOAT.
Yeah.
The two might be related. Mac and I have talked about wanting Jerry Reinsdorf to kind of get his in terms of, hey, you know, you could have kept it together, like, right? You were the boss. Like, is there going to be accountability from Jerry Reinsdorf in episodes 9 and 10? Obviously, they will cover the Game 7 series against the Pacers. Obviously, they will cover the flu game. Obviously, they will cover the final shot over Russell. I'm sure Bob Costas will be featured heavily at the end. And Scottie Pippen and the back injury, right? Like, those are the big basketball things. But then also, it'll be the last dance. Like, we're actually going to see the breakup of this thing. Mm-hmm. Do you have any hopes, dreams, wishes for the finale other than just entertainment?
Yes, I do. I would like two things that would speak to sort of both sides of it, actually. I would love it if Jordan, Pippen, and Phil would give a truly honest assessment of what they might have done the next year and beyond. Like, it's definitely a rash decision to break the whole thing apart, but we've seen dynasties face that kind of decision, and Belichick and Danny Ainge in Boston and others, we've praised some who have done it before it was too late, you know? So I know it worked out terribly, but I'm not convinced that they win it again in 99. I'm not convinced of that. So
no, of course not.
Right. So I'd be interested in hearing an honest assessment of how they think they might have done as a team, but that might not be possible. That's one thing. And the other thing that I really want is, I would love to hear some honesty from other people. And I know we got some from Kevin Garnett, what, a month ago or 6 weeks ago, about how the Bulls had never given Michael a stake and how that, you know, it put a bad vibe and bad belief about the Bulls. The damage that this breakup did to the Bulls as an organization, their reputation, their chances in free agency, their level of esteem around the league, is something that they are still trying to emerge from, right? And the Karnišovas hire and the other front office hires that have come are a big step, hopefully, in emerging. Fair or not, Dwayne Wade helped keep it alive, but this idea of them as the ones who told Jordan to screw you and go away and told a winner that we were done with you, that damage has lasted to this day. And I would love to hear that assessed by some people with the gravitas that they've been able to talk to.
I can't imagine a scenario where that latter point gets addressed. Like, maybe with the immediate aftermath of Jordan being upset and Jordan's relationship himself with the Bulls, but they're not going to present day and free agency and all of that. Like, that just, they don't have time, and I don't think that there's the widespread interest. But
well, but it doesn't even have to be specific about free agency. Just, you know, people talking about how the Bulls organization is thought of and has been thought of since 98 is a tangible thing, I believe.
I'm not saying it's not valid or that it's not relevant. It absolutely is. I could just see that being a, you know, I don't know if you've been watching these, like, Scott Van Pelt do the Sports Center afterwards. And by the way, it's a good time to mention, I will be doing Last Dance postgame coming up this Sunday night. I will be hosting right here on The Score. So feel free to call in, text in, watch the episode, and then hang out with me as I'll be going and talking about it. I will be surprised if they touch on it. I could see them doing it after the show or, like, even follow-up second day stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bummed that it's ending. Like, is this a perfect documentary? No. But it has been so entertaining and so nostalgic and so, like, time, place, moment, right? People say timing is everything. I am going to be legitimately sad when this thing ends.
Yeah. Yeah, there's very few sports happenings and teams that would merit this 10-part treatment, and this is absolutely one, and I'd be here for even more of it.
Right. If they convince Jason Hare to best of extended interviews, what was left on the cutting room floor? If you could do an episode 11, what would it be? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It would do huge numbers if they released more of it. Speaks, this has been fun, man. Thank you for sitting in.
An absolute blast, as always. Thank you to the listeners for the warm welcome, and thank you to Mitch Rosen for getting me out here with you these 2 days. On Sunday morning on Hit and Run, Doug Glanville is going to come on, and not only a great baseball talker, but has some amazing stories about playing pickup games with Michael in 94 that you got to hear. And also Kendall Gill is going to come on. And inspired by our conversation yesterday, Greg Kot, the longtime rock critic for the Tribune, will talk with me about the future of live music. That's Sunday morning on Hit and Run.
Beautiful. Thank you to Adam Studzinski, who stepped in for Chris Tannehill. Herb Lawrence has been helping us throughout all of these quarantine shows, doing great work for us. Very much appreciated. Nick Shepkowski is our executive producer. Thank you, sir. We had Dr. Rob Sitrenberg, Jason Benetti, and the head coach of the Bears, Matt Nagy, on the show today. Mac is back on Monday. Check me out for the Last Dance postgame show this Sunday night. Go to chiccc.org for the COVID relief telethon that we're involved with tomorrow. chiccc.org. You can watch it on NBC Sports Chicago starting at 5 o'clock tomorrow. It's going to be incredible. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. Joe Strowski coming up next. This is The Score.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. Well, it's been quite a week, you know.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly Auto Parts.